Good morning.
Morning.
Don't worry, I'm just getting things started. Pastor's on his way. But if you would, please stand as you are able. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing.
With joy we come to the Lord to redeem the people and turn our mourning into joy.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God,
confess that we are inclined to sin
and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Mercy on us, Lord.
Pray with me. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become the father of Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice and dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 147 responsibly with me. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He grants peace within your borders, and he fills you with the finest of wheat.
He sends out his man into the earth, his word runs swiftly.
He gives snow like wool, and he scatters frost like ashes.
He throws down hail on the ground, and moves his hand before his bow.
He sends out his word and melts them, and he makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from Ephesians, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had him believed in you, were marked with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption of God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A joke about the birth narratives in the beginnings of the gospel. So Mark's gospel, it begins not with a birth narrative, but it begins with John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness. And so Matthew's like, well, we need to go a little bit back. Matthew's gospel begins with the birth of Jesus. Luke's gospel says, well, you know what? We need to go back further than that. And it begins with the birth of John the Baptist being foretold. And John's gospel is like, you know what? Let's stop outdoing each other. We're just going to start at the beginning. In the beginning. It's not my joke. Sorry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being with him, in him was life and light, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light was which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of his Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to Christ.
You may be seated. But seriously, how are you going to start sooner than creation? Just saying. You be coming? This may have been what some of you wanted to text me this morning when I was late. But no, this is the text I received on Friday at 9:14 a.m. as I walked from my car into Lulu's for breakfast. Breakfast starts at 9. That's apparently just a suggestion, I think. But thankfully, punctuality was not my New Year's resolution this year. It was my resolution last year, and well, as those who ate breakfast with me on Friday, no, that didn't turn out so well, did it? And those who live with me and all the things. But I'm not alone in failing on these resolutions. There's a reason Planet Fitness has sponsored New Year's Rockin' E for 11 consecutive years now. But me, I don't need Planet Fitness. And it's not just because I'm already thin and trim. I mean, of course I am. But it's because I already have a treadmill in my basement. What's that? What did he say? That I don't use. Hey, he knows, he may have read my sermon in advance. An unused treadmill from another failed resolution several years back. You know what? I really hate that treadmill, by the way. Every time I walk by that treadmill and see the layers of dust on it, that treadmill judges me. It does. You're like, how does a treadmill judge? It's not human. It can't judge. It judges me. It demands, you know, Sean, you really should walk today. Yes, the treadmill talks to me too. But does it ever help me walk? No. It just there sits there. It judges. It accuses. It demands. It makes commands of me. And it doesn't give me the willpower to take that first step. The treadmill in my basement, I would call the embodiment of law. That's what it is. The law, it issues these lofty commands. It gives us no power to achieve them. And then it judges and condemns us when we fail. And fail we will. So I think it's fair to ask, is there anything good? Is there anything redeeming in the law? Because honestly, at least the way I've described it, the law sounds pretty terrible. It's pretty awful. That treadmill is kind of terrible. John's gospel does not tell us that the law was a mistake. Buying the treadmill might have been a mistake, but the law was not a mistake. Or that the law was a problem. No, John instead tells us that the law indeed was given through Moses. Given as in a gift from God, as an act of God's grace. I know we struggle to think of law as grace as Lutherans, but the law was an act of God's grace, is an act of God's grace, because the law reveals to us what God desires for us, what life with God and neighbor is meant to look like for us if we could only follow the law. So yes, the law is most certainly good. The problem, you see, really has never been the law, though, has it? The problem is us. The problem is us. The law does not fail. We do. And that's exactly why the law is not and can never be our saving grace. It can't. When we take the law seriously, and as a pastor, I think I'm required to say to you, I think we should take the law seriously. It becomes more than just rules to live by. The law exposes some painful truths. The law takes this big old mirror and it shows us our sin. It exposes the distance between God's will for us on the one hand and how we actually live our lives on the other hand. That's what the law does. The law accuses us, and rightly so. The law makes clear no resolution will ever fix you. No amount of effort will ever be enough. You will always fall short. Try and try and try as we might, you and I, we simply cannot save ourselves. Trust me, I've tried. So when we find ourselves in that oh-so-familiar place, exposed and exhausted, despondent, with nowhere else to turn, the law has prepared us to freely receive what we could never gain or achieve on our own. From his fullness, John proclaims, we have all received grace upon grace. The first grace is the law. What's that other grace? Not more laws and instructions, I hope. No. A grace that must come in some other way. Yes, the law is still a gift. No, the law does not, it has not been revoked. It remains God's good and holy will for us. But again, because we have failed, the law cannot save us. No, this saving grace must be something entirely new and other. And when it arrives, not only is it other, it is also entirely unexpected. Grace arrives with a beating heart. Grace arrives as a baby, made of flesh and bone, with blood coursing through his veins. This baby, Jesus, is God's grace made flesh. No longer grace over here somewhere at a distance, carved on a stone tablets and given to Moses from a mountaintop shrouded in clouds. No, this is grace come near to us. Grace made flesh. Eugene Peterson did a translation of the Bible. It's called The Message. It's a contemporary translation. He translates John's gospel in this way: the word Jesus Christ became flesh and blood and moved right on into the neighborhood. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God willingly enters ordinary life. He starts it off in the most extraordinary of ways, you know, from God's perspective. God's God. God doesn't come down to us in the most lowly of ways by lying in a trough that's meant for animals to eat out of. God would never do that, except God does. God moved into this messiness, the messiness of our humanity, and God continues to show up in the mess that is our daily lives. I mean, I'm assuming that you all have messy daily lives. Maybe I'm the only one. God continues to show up in the mess of our daily lives, not waiting until we achieve perfection, but precisely because we can't and we don't and we won't ever achieve that perfection that so many of us seek. Our lives, they are littered with wouldas and couldas and shouldas, with our failed resolutions in our wake, somewhere back there, collecting dust. But thankfully, Christ isn't waiting for us on the other side of our successful or completed resolutions. Christ is already here amid the struggle as we hit snooze for the 18th time and waltz in to breakfast 14 minutes late. As we battle with ourselves to use that treadmill or that Planet Fitness membership. This year's the year I'm going to use that Planet Fitness membership I bought on New Year's Eve. As we confront our addictions, God's right there, whatever these addictions might be. And I'm willing to bet that all of us have at least one. But not after we've slayed those demons, No, in the midst and in the mess of the fight. Anne Lamott is an author. She's also a recovering addict and an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic. She writes this about recovery communities. She says, "We say in recovery that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection." Think about that. We would think that the opposite of addiction is sobriety. You're no longer addicted, you're sober. But she says that's not the case. The opposite of addiction is connection. The law says, we say, stop drinking, be sober. These words are so often said and spoken in love because we want the person to be well. But they're still law. They tell you what you must change about yourself, but they do not give you the power to change it. But here's what connection does. Connection, it does not wait for sobriety. Connection walks in to the addiction. It shows up first. It sits down in that chair beside you. It hands you a cup of coffee. It listens. Or it sits there in silence with you, but it stays. That is connection. And that is saving grace made flesh. In and through connection. In and through community. The Word, Jesus Christ, has taken on flesh and blood and moved into the recovery group. The Word made flesh and blood has moved into the community, has moved into the neighborhood. The Word made flesh and blood has moved into this world. Grace is that cup of coffee waiting for you on the table at Lulu's, even though you are 14 minutes late again for like the 18th time in a row. Grace is someone saying, hey, let's take a walk because I know you're not going to use that treadmill. Grace, it shows up in those broken resolutions. It shows up in the missed workouts. It shows up in the late morning. It shows up in our recovery groups. It shows up in our grief groups. It shows up in our living rooms, in our classrooms, in our factories, in the offices. It shows up in hospitals. It shows up in nursing homes. It shows up in this faith community. And I'm willing to bet that grace even shows up in the midst of council meetings. I don't know how, but sometimes it does. Grace shows up in this faith community, but not some perfect version of what we want this place to be. Grace is here now, right now. Grace is already here. Yes, in our brokenness, grace is here. On that walk, grace is here. At that table with the coffee poured and waiting, grace is here. From the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received. Grace upon grace, and grace is here. But not just any grace. This is God's saving grace in the flesh and blood. God's saving grace is here. And his name? Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
ask you to join me now in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, please come forward.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that.
The following people have been elected by this congregation to positions of leadership: Kathy Badenhop, Dick Grandy, Dennis Long, Mike Smith, Beth Sinden, Marty Smith, and Ron Voorhees. We give thanks for the willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these siblings will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation.
Reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation.
You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church.
You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, in learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out, yes, in this congregation, but also in the wider church, in this community, in the entire world.
You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified.
You are to be examples of faith, active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation.
On behalf of your siblings in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the office to which you have been elected? If so, please respond, I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I saw all of their lips move, and I think I heard them all too. So they said yes. People of God, you play a part in this. You are to support them. So I ask you, and you must also respond, and it's their job to make sure that your lips move. Will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all the baptized? If so, please respond. We will, and we ask God to help and guide us.
We will, and we ask God to help and guide us. I now declare you installed as council members of this congregation.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and direct your days and your deeds that you may be faithful servants of Christ's church.
Amen.
You may return to your seats and we will continue with our prayers of intercession. Huh? Woohoo! Yes, woohoo! Yay! Do we have additional prayers this morning? I have one to add. Phyllis Straka is in the hospital. We will pray for her. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And there was a family relatively close to here that, what's the name? Northmore name?
Bobby.
Say again? Landon?
Bishop.
Landon. So Bobby is a 14-year-old boy who passed away in a car accident, I think over the weekend, or a few days ago. So let's pray for his family and especially his brother, who I believe was driving the car. And then we will, of course, also pray for Landon. Let us pray. Oh yeah, please stand in body or in spirit. Empowered by the news of Christ's birth, let us pray boldly for the church, creation, and for all who are in need.
O God, you reveal yourself whenever two or three are gathered in your name. Be with us now, not only in the infant Jesus and the risen Christ, but in the beloved people of this assembly, First Lutheran Church, and in the council members called, elected, and installed to serve this community of faith. Strengthen them with wisdom, humility, and joy, so that together we may reflect your grace and truth in Galilee and to the ends of the earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You reveal yourself in new life. Support those beginning a new job, a new relationship, or a new living situation, especially those displaced because of tragedy or loss. Be with all others who need your life-giving touch this day, especially Joe, Caleb, Teresa, Linda, Sally, Ed, Jack Jr., Pastor Tim, Tony, Phyllis, the Adkins family, Landon, the family and friends of Bobby, especially his brother, those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer lists, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We especially lift to you this day the people of Venezuela, for whom so much at this time is uncertain. Please surround them with your comfort. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You reveal yourself in Holy Communion. Sustain all who prepare, serve, and share meals in this congregation, especially those who lead and support our meal ministry in our partnership with Cooperative Christian Services of Galilee. Make our table signs of your welcoming presence and abundant grace in this community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. With the joy of Christ's birth in our hearts, we commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your boundless mercy and eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of glory, great are your wonders among us, and many are the blessings you bestow. Use us and these your gifts for the needs of the world, that all the ends of the earth may rejoice in your saving grace, through Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Can I borrow yours? Yeah. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God is now in flesh appearing. Come to the feast of joy.
Thank you.
now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Pray with me. Incarnate God, you are among us at this table. May we treasure this gift and ponder in our hearts the mystery of your presence. Move us to discover the wonders of your love in the everyday moments of our lives. Through Christ born in us, all God's people said, Amen.
Committee fellowship begins at 5:30, followed by committee meetings at 6 and council at 7.
6:30.
Council at 6:30. Apparently, I'm pretty sure I got the memo. I just forgot. Council at 6:30. 6:30. So, if you are interested in any of our committees, please come at 6 o'clock for that, or 5:30 for fellowship ahead of time, which does include food. So also meetings, I think next Sunday we have a worship and music committee meeting that feels like we planned it to be next Sunday. So if you're on worship and music, that will be next Sunday after worship. And it's not a meeting, but it's way more fun than a meeting. We have catechism today. Yay! Anyway, I do have a correction. The young man who passed away, it was Bobby. It was his cousin that was driving the car, not his brother. I did want to correct that, and I apologize. But still, please pray for that family. They especially need your prayers right now. Any other announcements this morning that I am not thinking of? Oh, big announcement. What goes up must come down. If you can, please stay after worship to help with that. I'll even let the catechism students help. All right. With that, please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
Go now in peace to bear his light and grace.
Proclaiming God's word and galleon and to the ends of the earth.
Keep looking.
Oh, I see. I see.